My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's also an expert on the Middle East and terrorism, and we want to get his thoughts today as Iraq transitions to a situation where Iraqis are controlling the cities and the U.S. forces pull back, but will still be available for security operations if the need arises. And Dr. Faris, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
There's a great celebration in Iraq today by the people, by the fact that their own security forces are taking over these cities. It's even National Sovereignty Day as they celebrate this change. What are you hearing from your sources inside Iraq about how well the people think the Iraqi forces are actually ready to secure their own cities?
Well, according to sources, according to how media in Iraq, mostly Iraqi media, are handling the situation, a majority of Iraqis, of Arab Sunni, Arab Shia, Kurds, Christians, Turkoman, majority of Iraqis is satisfied that the D-Day is coming. It's going to be a sort of a delayed D-Day in the sense that it will begin withdrawal of U.S. forces from the cities, from the urban areas, into other locations inside Iraq. And as you said in the intro, to support, strategically support Iraqi forces if there will be a threat. Now, the threat issue is of concern to some Iraqis who feel that the terror forces that have been defeated throughout the surge over the past 2 years and a half may well come back. And there is no doubt that, for example, Al-Qaeda will try to come back through operations that have begun to perform some, just to make the point that the withdrawal of the Americans will not be followed by a peaceful, stable Iraq, but by a challenged Iraq by the forces of the jihadists. The other big question is about the Iranian position. Today, Iran is under turmoil in Tehran, but U.S. Authorities and Iraqi authorities knew for the last 2 years that it is Iran which is going to decide on the other threat, that is to support pro-Iranian militias or special groups in trying to undermine Iraqi authorities in Iraq from the south to the center. But the bottom line is this: Iraqis in general are happy that Iraqi forces are taking over, but they feel that there is going to be a testing time for Iraqi forces before believing that, in fact, Iraq can fly with its own wing.
So, as you point out, this time of testing could mean more attacks from Al-Qaeda and other insurgent forces hostile to the new regime, hostile to the United States. What do you think will be the guideline to determine whether or not an uptick in violence is just that, a test, and whether it's a sign that the Iraqis aren't quite ready for prime time?
Media has to play a tremendous role, and analysts and commentators and those who explain what's happening to the public, both inside Iraq and regionally and outside, you know, will have an important role to play. A terrorist attack against targets inside Iraq as Americans are withdrawing is not a sign of a failure of the plan, but a takeover of a city, as in the case of Fallujah, where Iraqi army won't be able to go back to a no-go zone in some neighborhoods and some suburbs, is a measurement. So we're going to wait and see for the next days and weeks and probably months before determining if the Iraqi takeover of their own cities is successful. Everything indicates so far that they are successful. The operation that performed in Basra a few months ago, other operations in the Sunni Triangle, showed that Iraqis by themselves can go back and take back a neighborhood if it has been taken over by terrorist forces. Keep in mind that till 2011, U.S. forces are still in Iraq. And if a challenger such as Al-Qaeda or pro-Iranian militia wants to take over an area, most certainly the Iraqi government will call on U.S. forces to come and assist.
And Dr. Faris, take us inside the terrorist mindset as best as you can do. What are they hoping to accomplish in realistic terms as a result of this change? And do you think that they may actually wait a little bit longer for U.S. troop numbers in Iraq to literally be drawn down before perhaps lashing out most severely?
Well, they have their war room. They have their gradual plans in the same way Iraqis and U.S. have their gradual and phased plans. For example, Al-Qaeda will not wait. As soon as our forces will be out of the cities, they're going to definitely try, and they've said so online, actually, to attack Iraqi targets. But the Iraqi army is ready, and this is where Iraqi citizens are going to be watching this game between the terrorists trying to undermine security and Iraqi forces responding to it. Most likely in that field, Al-Qaeda won't be able to unsettle the Iraqi authority as a whole and recreate Fallujah, except if there is a major breakdown, sectarian breakdown between Shia and Sunni, which we don't see. The real big challenge, Greg, is going to be what the Iranians wants to do in the south of the country. And here everything is open, the game is open, because of the events in Tehran. If the Iranians want to establish a communication channel with the United States, they should not be working on destabilizing the southern part of Iraq. But if for any reason events in Tehran would escalate and some decision makers in Iran wants to divert attention to other parts of the Middle East, southern Iraq, central Iraq will be the ideal place for them to destabilize.
What do you see as the proper posture of the Iraqi government towards Iran? What sort of engagement should exist, and how tough does Maliki need to be on what Iran is trying to do to destabilize his own country?
Maliki, who knows the Iranians very well and many members of his own cabinet, including the president of Iraq, do not want to create tensions with Iran. But really, the ball is not in their hands. It is in the hands of the Pasdaran, of the leadership of Mahmoudinejad and Ahmadinejad and Khamenei. And that's why I said earlier, it is going to be for the Iranian leadership to decide, do they want to keep it low in Iraq as they are handling their domestic long-term issue that has begun after the elections in Iran, or they want to use the Iraqi scene to deflect attention from incidents there. So what the Iraqis would want to do and would try to do to send a strong message to the Iranians that they are not intervening in Iranian domestic affairs, which is a very interesting hint, because now probably for the first time, Iraq, with broadcast, with engaging with the Iranian opposition, could do a lot of destabilization if it wants to. But most likely they won't do it, and then they will tell the Iranian government and regime that if we don't intervene in your domestic affairs, do not intervene in ours.
Dr. Farish, just about 60 seconds left in our time here. And as you look at the reality in Iraq today, when you think back 2 to 3 years about what the situation was like back then in Iraq, how impressive is the turnaround?
I am actually impressed by the fact that it is going by the textbook. I am looking not just, 3 years ago, but some 8 years ago when there was a dictator ruling Iraq. And now there is no more dictator. There is a progressing democracy, which is making its way towards becoming a serious democracy. It will have a lot of struggle to do. But the D-Day for the testing time for Iraq. After that tunnel, we will see if Iraq will be able, as I said earlier, to fly with its own wings.
Dr. Farish, on a very important day, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Waleed Farish, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, expert in Middle Eastern policy as well as terrorism. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.